From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's just pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee in our Saviour's precious name for the privilege of gathering here today. We thank thee for the privilege of reading thy word and hearing it preached. We thank thee that this is the living word of the living God. Through it, O Lord, you speak to your creation. We pray, Lord, tonight you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive thy truth. O Lord, may all who hear thy word today be blessed. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We're going to read from God's precious word, turning to Hebrews chapter 7 and commencing at verse number 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Amen. Let's join together in singing that beautiful hymn, Jesus the Name, High Over All.
It's good to be with you today to share the Word of God. And I want to draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus Christ is central in this text. He is the one that is referred to in that pronoun he. He's able to save. He ever liveth. And so this verse is very largely about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to speak about him tonight and what the verse has to say about him. But before I do, I want to speak about that other pronoun, them. That pronoun occurs twice. There's a group of people here, and I want to draw your attention to them first of all. Able to save them to the uttermost, saying that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And I hope that you all are among that people tonight in this them that we're going to speak about just now. This people, what marks them out? They're a blessed people. But what is it that identifies them? What are they doing in the text? The text says that they're coming to God. They're drawing near to God. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. So the verse tells us that they're approaching unto the Most High. And that's a very wise thing to do. Very right thing to do that, to come to God. And I hope that you do that. It's a good thing because the psalmist says, it is good for me to draw near to God. It's beneficial for us sinners. It's something that God desires because he says so often in his word that we should come to him. Incline your ear and come unto me, the Bible says. And we should come to God every day. We should come to him for blessing. We should come to him for our own souls and for our family. We should come to him for the forgiveness of sins. It's the very heart of religion, coming to God. God is. He's the living and true God. He's our Creator. He's the Most High. And his creatures ought to acknowledge him. The very least that they can do is to draw near to him every day. The greatest hindrances to coming to God are ignorance of him and unbelief. Atheism and agnosticism are the death knell of any kind of coming to God. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith in the being and existence of God is essential. We must believe he is, and he is. And believing, we must come to him. This them, then, is those who do believe that he exists and come to him. But you will observe from the text that they come in a very special way and in a very special manner. This them do not come any old way. They don't go directly, as it were, to God, but they go by him. He's able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. That is, through him. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is interesting. It is obvious that this people who draw near to God, they feel their need of a go-between. They feel that they need someone who is a mediator betwixt God and them. They feel unable to directly go to God. Why is that? Why do they feel that? And the answer is that they know that God is holy. They have learned from the Holy Scriptures that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And they also know that they themselves are the opposite of that. They're sinners, unholy and unrighteous. And the Bible teaches us that. Their hearts have been instructed by the Word of God and illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And their consciences bear witness that they're sinners. And they do not feel that they can approach God directly. They have let the Bible speak to them. Whenever it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That their heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. There is none righteous. No, not one. And this them feel that. And therefore they dare not approach God without a mediator. They know that God is a consuming fire outside of Jesus Christ. And they feel their need of a Savior. Now, if they come to God by Him, that is, by Jesus Christ, that implies two things. It implies that they believe He alone is that mediator. They come by Him. They come through Him. It implies that they trust and believe Him to be so and actually do approach to God through Him. So it implies that they believe He is the mediator and it implies that they trust in Him and go through Him. So they believe the biblical claims concerning Christ, the only mediator. He Himself has told us in the Word, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you do not sin. But if any man sins, you have an advocate with the Father. There's one you can go through, Jesus Christ the righteous. Paul says, for through Him we have access unto the Father. And there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So this them, they let these Bible claims speak to them. And through the Holy Spirit's illumination, they know that they dare not approach God apart from Christ. And they actually believe in Him and trust in Him and depend on the mediator alone. And they join no one else to Him. They're not trusting in any other. Through Him unto God. So that's a Christian. A Christian is one who has faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to bring him to God. The Christian can say, in the words of the hymn, addressing his Savior, Thou art the way, by Thee alone, from sin and death we flee, and they who would the Father seek, must seek Him, Lord, by Thee. Now the question that arises in the minds of those who are beginning to think about coming through Jesus Christ unto the Father, beginning to think about the need of a mediator, the question that comes to their mind is, is He able to save me? Is He able to bring me nigh unto God? Has He the ability? If I trust in Him, will I be disappointed at the end of the day? Will I be ashamed at the last? Well, the Bible says, he that believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You'll never be disappointed by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. The one who trusts in Him will never fail of finding acceptance in the presence of a holy God. The verse then deals with the question, is Christ able? Can I trust Him? Yes, you can. If you're among this them, He has the ability, the authority, the power to save you. He is able, the text says, to save them. He that believes in Christ has everlasting life. The Bible says, mighty to save. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself tells us, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. His great name testifies to His great ability. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And so by trusting in Him, you will not be disappointed. He saves surely. He saves truly. You see how the apostle describes his salvation here. He's able to save to the uttermost. I like that translation. An uttermost salvation. The famous American preacher Billy Sunday was converted from a drunken lifestyle. He called himself a gutter drunk. And because that's where his ways left him. But when he got converted, he called it a guttermost salvation. It reached him. It reached to the lowest condition. It reached to his lowest state in the gutter. And it raised him to the uttermost. And so he would often use the expression, from the guttermost to the uttermost. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And when he believes in Christ, coming to the Father through him, always, this is in a continual sense, coming to God through Christ all the time, he is on the road of uttermost salvation. Saved to the uttermost in extent, saved to the uttermost in duration, in glory, uttermost joy and uttermost delight, saved completely and perfectly, utterly saved forever. He shall never perish. And so they surely shall not fail in coming near to God that come to him through Jesus Christ alone. And that he is well able to save, the apostle explains. That is why he uses the word wherefore in the text. Wherefore, for these reasons, the reasons before, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing, and he draws attention to another reason, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so we ask, why is he able? Why is it that we can trust him and he will not fail us and disappoint us? What is there about this mediator that is so different from all human-made and human-fabricated mediators? And the answer is given in the context. It is that the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else is the living mediator. The very much alive priest, who alone has the authority and power to bring us to God. He is able because of his position. It says here, he hath an unchangeable priesthood, verse 24. He's a priest. He's been put in that office by the God that we go on to, God the Father. He is such an high priest who we need and who has become us, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. This position, he's in the presence of the Father. This position he has been given by the Father. He is the right one, the only priest. And he's in the right place. The presence of God at his right hand. And we can come to God, eyeing him with confidence. Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, or for them, if you like. He is able because of his position. He is able also because of his purity. No other priest as pure as this priest. For such an high priest became us, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. And he needeth not daily as those other high priests to offer up sacrifices for his own sins. He had none. He's the only priest that's pure, that's holy, that is the advocate able to go into the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's very important. He's the pure, spotless Lamb in the presence of God for us. His purity ensures he is able to save them. And then he's able also because of his permanence. That is something very much brought out in the context of our text. They truly were many priests, verse 23, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. There were priests all the time, but they died, and other priests had to be raised up. But this priest, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He ever liveth. He's the living one. He's alive. That's why you can have confidence in him. That's why you'll never be disappointed. That's why you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am he that was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. And you can rest in him. You can trust in him. You can boldly approach unto your God through him without the shadow of a doubt. He's able because of his permanence. He's able also because of his pleading. His priesthood is effectual. What does the text say? Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's the perfect advocate with the Father. And so his pleading avails for you. He is an advocate who can bring your very case to God, and you can rest in him to do that. A perfect advocate who intercedes and pleads. He pleads the merit of his work, the value of his blood, who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And the Father knows this. He offered up himself, as it says there in verse 27 of this chapter. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And not only does his blood plead, his heart pleads. He intercedes for us. The Father sees his desire, his heart for those that trust and rest in him. And that heartbeat of his Son wins him. And we have acceptance in the Beloved. And so he ever lives for us. That's a marvelous thing. So come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. He is able. He is able. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. The hymn says, before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. A great high priest, whose name is Love, ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven in his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, I look upward above and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. You'll not be disappointed by trusting in Jesus Christ. You'll not be ashamed in that great day for having come continually to the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. Let us pray then. Our Father, we do give thee thanks that we can reverently approach unto thee always in the way that thou hast appointed, even through thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank thee for this gospel. We pray that the truth of it may find acceptance in many hearts and in all lands and nations where it is proclaimed. May there be a great stream of sinners approaching unto thee in thy holy temple through thy Son, Jesus Christ. To thee and to him be everlasting glory. For his name's sake we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.